Continuing, an evil, when known, should be condemned and destroyed. The legislator cannot plead ignorance as an excuse for upholding a glaring inequity. And what could be more glaring, I'm commenting, an inequity than the reduction of the human being to things, to objects for exchange and pricing. Continuing, restitution should not be delayed. Justice, recognition of right, reinstatement of the proletaire. When these results, I'm not reading this right, am I? For a variety of reasons. Oh, don't forgive. Can I have another chance? Now, hang with me, please. Join with me. Help me not overcompensate here. An evil, when known, should be condemned and destroyed. The legislator cannot plead ignorance as an excuse for upholding a glaring inequity. Restitution should not be delayed. Justice, recognition of right, reinstatement of the proletaire. When these results are accomplished, then, judges and councils, you may attend to your police and provide a government for the republic. My comment. Got some competition up in the air. Let us not forget, Proudhon writes, prior to the establishment of the global totalitarian state as a centralized bureaucratic edifice with branches in every nation and every citizen. What did Kropotkin say? How did he describe the problem? And is it clear, as we listen again to Peter Kropotkin, how critical Alice Miller, Emmanuel Wallerstein, John Boswell, Karl Popper, Martin Bernal, Alfred O. Hirschman, and Nikola Tesla are to our understanding of how we came to be trapped under the hidden hand of such a tiny number of men? Let's listen again to Peter Kropotkin. Quote, "We are so perverted by an education which from infancy seeks to kill in us the spirit of revolt and to develop that of submission to authority. We are so perverted by this existence under the fair rule of a law which regulates every event in life, our birth, our education, our development, our love, our friendship, that if this state of things continues, we shall lose all initiative, all habit of thinking. Our society seems no longer able to understand that it's possible to exist otherwise than under the reign of law, elaborated by a representative government and administered by a handful of rulers. And even when it has gone so far as to emancipate itself from the thraldom, its first care has been to reconstitute it immediately. The year one of liberty has never lasted more than a day. For after proclaiming it, men put themselves the very next morning under the yoke of law and authority." Unquote from Peter Kropotkin's essay, Law and Authority. And that was discussed in our Waking Up Radio show of November 8, 2015. And in the blog, audio blog from that show, Slavery by Law. And I think we must also reconsider Kropotkin's description of the undermining and destruction of the Paris Commune of 1871 from the perspective of the issues discussed in our show today, the role of the individual in furthering our free future. Quote, "This is what Paris did after the 18th of March, 1871. Instead of acting for themselves, instead of marching forward, instead of advancing in the direction of a new order of things, the people, confiding in their governors, entrusted to them the charge of taking the initiative. This was the first consequence of the inevitable result of elections." So what do we learn from this? My comment, we must not entrust to others the charge of initiative, of taking the initiative. What was the result? Shut up in City Hall charged to proceed after the forms established by preceding governments. These ardent revolutionists, these reformers, found themselves smitten with incapacity and sterility, with all their goodwill and their courage. They didn't even know how to organize the defense of Paris. Of course, people now blame the men, the individuals, for this. But it was not the men who were the cause of this failure. It was the system. In fact, universal suffrage, at best, can only produce an assembly which represents the average of the opinions which at the time are held by the mass of the people. Ah, if the bulk of the nation, of the commune, could only understand before the movement what is necessary to be done as soon as the government is overturned. And there's guidance for us right now also, which will develop, hopefully, in upcoming shows, in our segment, aspects of an authentic self-defense training, practice. If this dream of the utopians of the chair could be realized, we never would have had bloody revolutions. The will of the bulk of the nation, once expressed, the rest would submit to it with a good grace. But this is not how things are done. The great mass of the people have only a general idea of the end which they wish realized, without knowing how to advance toward that end, without having confidence in the direction to follow. I mean, this is very obviously pertinent and will continue to be the barriers to our successful organization for freedom until they are addressed effectively. The solution will not be found until the change will have already begun. It will be the product of the revolution itself, of the people in action, or else it will be nothing. The brain of a few individuals being absolutely incapable of finding solutions which can only spring from the life of the people. And that's unquote from Peter Kropotkin's Revolutionary Government, discussed on November 29, 2015. The point for power of making class intentionally totalitarian by making it the economy global and by universalizing child rearing, which is the acceptance of coercion, is to end the possibility of there being any life of the people, to end all independent thought. No corner on which we can perch our independent thought can exist, on which being a people depends. The point was to universalize obedience, to create a docile human race that accepts the imposition of coercion in all aspects of its existence. An independent life of the people must be reconstituted everywhere and mutually associated by means of social media. Communities formed in intentional opposition to the global class system.